You are faithful and always on time. If you believe that this morning, will you give the Lord a shout of praise? Yeah. You're never gonna let me down. Man, I love that declaration. Look at me real quick. You know, the Bible says I'm a Bible guy. My opinion really doesn't mean a lot when it comes to the things of God. My opinion in this moment is just that, my opinion. It was my opinion to wear camo pants today. Angel, you said you were going to match me, and you didn't do it. Okay. Job 22:28 says this. This is the Bible. It says, I'll decree a thing, and it shall be established. You know, sometimes when you're in the trenches, sometimes when you're in ruts, and the enemy has tried to throw sand in your eyes and tried to tell you that you're not going to get through this one. Yeah, God delivered you all these times, but this one here, it's going to take you out. See, but then there's an authority that we have as believers. Say, I have authority in Christ. Because the Bible says in Colossians 3:17, it says, everything I do and everything I say, I do it as a representative of Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, amen. You can clap. It's okay. No, somebody clap louder than that. Come on, if you're going to clap, clap it. But if everything we do and everything we say, we do it as a representative of Jesus, then the authority that's in us, come on, somebody, the same power that conquered the grave that's in us when we speak, James chapter 4, verse 7, it says that we have, say, I have the authority to resist the devil, and he has to flee. You know, it doesn't say he has to flee every once in a while. It doesn't say he has to flee when he feels like it. It says resist the devil and he shall flee. Amen. And so I'm audacious enough to believe in our faith as children of God because, again, we're not overlooked. He hasn't forgotten about you. I know that some of you are standing here right now like, you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't, but he does. And you could be duct taped, super glued, and decoupaged back together, and he has not stopped pursuing you. And I'll prove it. Psalms 23:6. It says, surely the goodness and mercy of God will chase after me all the days of my life. The Message translation says his very beauty and love, listen, pursues you. He loves you. Man, I don't know if you've been hurt by church or someone lied to you, and maybe you watched a televangelist and they said in order to earn back God's love, you got to send them $1,000 and they're going to send you some miracle serum to put on a salad or something. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. So in love with you. High five a couple people around you. Have a seat real quick. High five. Couple people. Awesome. Well, I love it here in Lake Worth, Florida. Thanks for having me. It's a blast. I love it. You know, we go where the Holy Spirit tells us to go. And I'm still dressed like camp. We're hanging out. Can y'all give my friend Trent another huge hand for being with us this morning? The rest of the boys had to fly out and fly home, but we had a blast at camp this week. We literally had we had over 1,200 kids there. Hundreds of kids came to the altar night after night. So many miracles, transformation. You know, where the presence of God is, unless it's a religious experience, there should be fruit. Thank you for your overwhelming enthusiasm. There should be fruit. And we saw it, man. We saw fruit. We saw kids healed of asthma. We had all these testimonies come in of miracles that happened. How many, God did something this week in your life? Come on, students. Let me see you. Awesome. It's great. Listen, don't let it burn out. This is my charge to you. Don't let it burn out. Because tomorrow, today, the enemy's going to try to steal that seed. I'm serious. He's going to try to steal that seed. He's going to try to tell you that everything's going to go back to normal tomorrow. But you know, we have a choice to consistently position ourselves under the mighty hand of God, 1 Peter 5:6. Because God's not a forcer, he's a filler. He won't force himself. But if you'll make room, man, he'll fill. You need confidence, he'll fill. You need peace, he'll fill. You need joy, he'll fill. You need boldness, he'll fill. You need to fight, he'll fill. Whatever you need, when you need. I had this thought the other day. Now, how many of y'all have ever panicked frantically? No. That wasn't the end of my question. I said, how many of y'all ever panicked? She lifted two hands and a foot. Third rush, she's like, my God. Her crock flipped off. It was amazing. But how many of y'all have ever panicked when you haven't had your, like, you couldn't find your phone charger? You're like, where's my charger? Where's my, did you steal my charger? You start accusing random people. How many of y'all like me? Because you have to have that charge. I mean, you got to charge it up. And I was talking to this guy at this other camp we were doing in Colorado, and he was losing it. Like, there was no other chargers on the planet left to fit his iPhone. And I said, bro, we're going to be okay. He's like, you understand, my phone's on 4%. What am I supposed to do on 4%? Can't do anything on 4%. And as he was talking, I heard the Lord just begin to speak to me. Wow, if we were as zealous and passionate with filling up and recharging our spirit, come on, every day, how much stronger would we be as children of God? Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to seek first, one translation says, to seek above all else the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does it say? And all these things. You know, all these things is everything you need when you need it. Everything you need. Listen, we're in church today. This is better than being in jail. Come on, somebody. Like, this is good. We're in church today. You woke up again. You might be the oldest person in the room or the youngest. You woke up again today, breathing, which is proof that God's not done with you yet. Well, we pulled into town yesterday. I got to talk about it. Macho, don't you dare touch that fader, bro. Just humble thyself under the side of the Lord and you shall. And this all makes sense in a minute. So we pull in Ben Witte, Pastor Ben, Brother Ben. What is Ben? Prophet Ben. What is Ben? Reverend Ben. Ben. What is it? Awesome Ben. Awesome sauce Ben. We're having fun, y'all. We shook off everything in the first service. Everybody got to beat the Baptist to go in the crowd. They're good. Now we're here together, okay? But yesterday we pulled into town. Ben's like, where do you want to eat? And I said, how about Rocco's Tacos? Come on, somebody. My God. And so I know there's all those weird voodoo masks and stuff in there, but it's good tacos. And so we're in there, and we pulled into town, and there's this random lady walking down the middle of the road, and she was trying to chase this little dog. And the dog was like running and looking back at her. And so I'm like, slow up, Ben. And I jump out like I'm going to be Super Dan and Jean-Claude Van Damme. And I start running down the street, like sprinting after this dog. And it had super, super speed. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was passing people. People started cheering for me. I got all the way to the water. It jumped up on the boat dock, and I was like, I got him. And he ran and juked me and ran around me. I was like, what is going on? I ran around almost 2 miles, and I finally got to it, and I tried to grab it, and it nipped me. And I was like, you can go. You can just, little rabid ferret. It just took off. And then I find out that the lady that we were chasing, she's like, oh, that's not even, I thought that's not the dog I was thinking it was. I'm like, but I felt like defeated because we still wanted to catch it. You know what I mean? But I'm not sure what happened to it. But and then we decided after we ate to go play. Has anybody ever played, you know, the beanbag toss game, cornhole? Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? And I would say that Trent and I are in life pretty good at competition and sports. But man, Angel and Macho, man, they put the smackdown on us. I mean, they were shutting us out 6-0. And Angel was doing like the cha-cha. He was just over the top arrogant. And music was playing. He's like, this is my jam. And he was singing in Spanish. And he had a piñata out there. He's hitting the piñata. It started getting weird. And then he's like, oh, my shoulder's getting sore. And I was like, "I something's about to give." So he subs in the wrong person. Let's just, they'll go unnamed. Trent and I came back. We came back. And we ended up winning 11-7. They left very sad. Trent and I, we slept like babies. I mean, it was a good night. So I've enjoyed my journey thus far in this region. But today we're going to have a good time. I promise I'll get you out of here in a good amount of time. You know, we're coming off of a great week of momentum. And we kicked the devil in the teeth. And we did some serious damage to the kingdom of darkness. And the Lord put something on my heart at the beginning of the year. I believe it's going to help all of us. It was something for me, and then I felt the Lord in around March begin to tell me, everywhere you go, share these two things specifically. And there's other moments where I've tied in some other things specifically to it, but these two things I felt like the Lord told me not to waver from for the whole year. So in January, I always take about 2 to 3 days, and I do like a silent retreat, which anybody knows me knows, I'm always on. Like late at night or early in the morning, I'm always talking and jibber jabbing and all that. And so, do people still say that? People still say jibber jabbing, Angel? Praise God. Okay, so I'm always talking. So I take like 2-3 days in silence and I just read the Bible and to spend time with the Lord, and God began to show me some areas of my life that I've been holding on to some stuff. He said, you always talk about people surrendering and surrender and surrender, and but we're human-minded, so we compartmentalize. How many of y'all can agree with this a little bit? Like, God, I trust you with all this, but these three things, this is my family issues. I'll hold on to them. We almost find comfort in being damaged goods or struggling with past issues or not letting go of some things because it hurts to let go of it. And I felt like the Lord said, your posture of surrender needs to start being, and I talked about this a little bit at camp, but needs to start being open-handed. Because if you'll release what's in your hand, I'll release what's in mine. John chapter 3, verse 30 says, I need you to become greater and greater as I become less and less. One translation says, I need you to increase more and more as I decrease. See, all of us should stay learners, right? Shapeable and moldable, and every one of us should be students of the Bible. Every one of us should be growing every day. We should be taking territory every day. My relationship with my wife, like, we've been married, we just celebrated 13 years last week. Come on, somebody. A baker's dozen. And we're still dating. Like, I fly home tomorrow. I'm going to pick her up. We're going to go on a date. Come on. What you know about that? We're still going on a date. And so I pick her up and I ask her questions. Like, hey, what's your favorite color? She'll be like, you know what my favorite color is. I'm like, oh yeah? Is it red for roses? And I still date her. And I'll say, what's your favorite? Like, what's your favorite jewelry right now? You into gold right now? Silver? Well, don't you know that? No, I'm always asking because I want her to know I'm always pursuing you. So we date. We're constantly and come on. And we're growing because I want our relationship to grow. I don't want to become roommates. I don't want to be two passing ships in the night where it's like, oh, you're still here? That's interesting. Like, I want to always be growing. We had a fun moment on Valentine's night. I was all pumped up. I got on a waiting list at this really fancy restaurant, like where you always go. We know, trust me. People like us, we go other places, but Angel's at Casanova. So you shouldn't be on the front row. I'm going to talk to you all service. But this is the toss. This is the technique. That's what won the game, just so you know. Anyways, so I booked this really nice restaurant, like really nice. Like, I was super thrilled. So we pull up and Valet's like, and I'm like, huh. And he's like, I'm like, are we going to do this for a while? And so we get out and we get in, we get sat down, and Jackie's like, babe, this is a really nice place. I'm like, it's pretty nice. And she's like, $45 for steelhead salmon. I'm like, where'd they get that? Nebuchadnezzar's river? Like, what? So she got the salmon. I fasted. Like, I didn't eat honey. I watched her eat it. And so, but I had this whole thing planned. Like, we walked outside, valet pulled up, and I was looking at him like, all right, now. And a friend of mine had just gotten his wife 12 dozen roses. So I'm on the phone. She's like, whatever you do, don't do that. I'm like, cancel 11 of those. Cancel 11 of those. And so they pull up and the valet hands her flowers and she's walking to the car and I say, and I will always love you. And I startled her and she dropped her iPhone and shattered the screen. See, I thought we were past that point. Like, I thought, like, and so instead of taking her shopping, we went to the iPhone store and got her phone fixed. But anyways, I'm always pursuing her. Because I want to grow in relationship. That's what God desires from us. He doesn't, listen, this whole thing is not about religion. Or listen, shut the doors, chain them shut. I don't want to play church. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. And he loves you and he's pursuing you. And he's not mad at you. And God has amazing plans for you. And so the Lord began to show me at the beginning of the year, release what's in your hand. Because you're strangling out, you're putting a lid, a ceiling on where I want to take you in some areas. And man, I came home and I've been just on fire. We talked about it at camp. Every service, I'd say, come on, let's lift our hands. And everybody in the room started open-handed. No more of this just like, okay, God, I'm going to reluctantly give you. No, everything, withholding nothing. So Lord will speak to me in life scenarios. I talked about this in the first service and life scenarios. I might be driving in my car and something happened or a situation will happen and the Lord will begin to deal with me or speak to me about something. And the Lord will do the same thing for you, FYI. Like, all of us can hear from the Holy Spirit. Like, God anointed Paul and he anointed a donkey. I'm somewhere closer to the donkey. Like, by the looks of it, we got a lot of donkeys in the room. Come on, everybody. Are y'all awake this morning? Are we okay? So So John 14, 26, I'm giving you scripture here. You should take notes. John 14, 26 says that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our helper who helps. We need clarity, direction, and leading of the Holy Spirit. I can't be the husband, the dad, the leader, the pastor, the worship evangelist. I can't do any of this without the leading and the unction of the Holy Spirit. So last July, I'm at my father-in-law's house, and I'm not a garden enthusiast. How many of y'all garden? Like you enjoy gardening? Okay, yeah. She loves gardening, I can tell. Like she has a glove on in the back. Like, it's amazing. She's always wearing it. That's a joke. Wake up. Is this Believers Methodist Assembly? What are we doing here? Are y'all tired from camp? Are you tired? Okay, moving on. So I'm over at my father-in-law's, and I see the nicest, hands down, nicest garden I'd ever seen in my life. Like, I was completely drawn in like a moth to a flame, just blown away by this garden. And so I'm talking to my father-in-law. I'm like, hey, I got to go look at this garden over here. And he's like, why? And I'm like, I just need to go check it out. So I'm over there and I'm looking at it. Now, listen, I don't know anything about gardening, like nothing. But I do know when something's healthy. See, it's the same thing in our spiritual walk. You don't judge somebody, but you judge it by their fruit. You judge their fruit. Are they walking in the fruit of the Spirit? Do they have love, joy, peace? Come on, are they walking and overflowing with and reflecting the things of God? Because the Bible says in Colossians 3:17 that everything we do and say, we do it as a representative of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So the spiritual walk that we walk in, John 15, verse 5 says, I'm the vine, it's him, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear a little bit of fruit. Hopefully a tad bit of fruit. What's it say? Come on, students of the Bible. If it doesn't say that, you have the Book of Mormon and we'll switch it out for you, like in the lobby. It's no big deal. Okay, it's one denomination and one. Okay, so I got to get to three. Okay, so, but if we remain in him and him in us, you will bear much fruit. But then it says this, but apart from me, you can do nothing. And listen, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ spinning their wheels, just cruise control Christians. God has not called us to survive life. He's called us to thrive life. I didn't have my kids. I've never walked up to my little girl, Finley, and said, come here. Here's a 20. Hope you make it. Never. Now, I want to download all of our character, all of our integrity, everything. We want to pour into them to give them the best chances of walking out the purpose and the plan, the call of God on their lives, to know that there's healing in our hands. God's word is on our lips. So I walk over to this guy's garden, man. I'm blown away. I'm just like looking at the rows are perfect. Everything looks healthy. No weeds anywhere. I'm like, this is phenomenal. I'm taking pictures, like begging for double likes. You know what I mean? Like, if I could just reach. And so I'm looking at the garden, and this I hear this old clocker door, like a clock, you know, like on an old country house. And this guy comes over, like aggressive, like, what are you doing? And he walks all the way up. And he's like, what are you doing? Don't touch anything. And I'm like, why would I touch anything? I mean, it's not a big deal. It's just a cantaloupe. Like, you know. And so I'm talking to him, and I start asking him, hey, man, it's an amazing garden. I'm right here. It's my father-in-law's house. And I was just drawn into your garden. He's like, thank you. And I'm like, it's an amazing garden. He's like, and I'm like, seriously, like, what is your secret? Like, did you angle it a certain way for the sun to hit a certain way? He's like, no. And I said, did you import organic soil from Scotland? Like, what is your secret? Because I've never seen anything like it. This is exactly as it happened. I don't mean to offend anybody, but I want to tell the story as accurate as possible. I said, what is your secret? And it got kind of quiet. And he goes, well, we never die. I said, what? I said, we never die. I said, you win every day? What? We never die. I said, you smoke weed every day? I'm not hearing you. Because that's not why we're here. This is not Colorado. Like, I bid you farewell. Like, I said, what? And he goes, no, man, I weed every day. And I said, you have to pull weeds every day? And he goes, no, I don't have to pull weeds every day. Listen, but I check for weeds every day. And man, I'm telling you, it was as if he disappeared. I felt the Holy Spirit say, this is an epidemic in the body of Christ. They're not checking for weeds anymore. Listen. A weed's job is to strangle out the good fruit. A weed's job is to get in and smother out the purpose, your confidence, your boldness, your joy. It could be a toxic relationship. Come on, somebody. It could be something you're listening to. It could be stuff you're watching with your eyes. It could be some girl that came along. She's wearing a shirt that says Spirit instead of Sprite, but it was tied up a little too tall, and she's got an LED blinking belly button ring. And her shorts are so short, you confuse it for a belt. That's Bathsheba. Stay away from her. It could be some guy, a little too tan, smells like a little bit too much cologne, saying, what's up, girl? No, you're looking for a Boaz. If you're a Ruth, man, you know who you are in Christ. You don't need something or someone getting in the way and smothering out the good fruit. I've seen it over and over. It smothers out marriages, healthy marriages. It smothers out your confidence. And then you end up just kind of surviving life. Next door to the guy with the greatest garden I've ever seen was the worst garden, hands down. I was trying to convince him at 9:30 for him and me to go out there at night and burn it down. Like, I was like, it was so bad. And I said, what's his deal? He goes, he never checks. Listen, he never checks. Weeks go by. He digs through what's remaining, digs through the chaos, pulls out. Listen, so many people are living like that. They've allowed offense and bitterness to take root. They've allowed unforgiveness to take root. They've allowed past issues. Come on, I'm not, and some of you are like, you don't know what I've been through. I don't, but God can restore. He's in the fixing, healing, delivering business. If I would have dealt, walked out, or bought into the lie statistically of who I should have ended up, I should have ended up a drug dealer. So that's where my dad was. That's what my uncles are, and cousins and family. I should have ended up an alcoholic, an addict. In my family, you have three girlfriends on the side when you're married. I should have ended up angry, getting in fights, constantly dealing with chaos and drama. But God, the power of His Spirit, the power of His presence. And when we check every day, this is my challenge to you as a church. I told the first service this as well. Take a sticky note and write, check for weeds today. Slap that on your mirror until you start doing it every day. Wake up, look in the mirror, be like, whew, okay. This is what we're dealing with. You know what I mean? Like, you can't deny God has a sense of humor. Go to the mall and look at people. Just watch people. Like, God has a sense of humor. He created us all in His image, but we all look different. Come on, man. My girl Brittany Flex is here. Brittany, I was born without muscle mass, and you have all of it. So praise the Lord. I'm glad to see you. But I'm confident in this, that when we look in the mirror and we check for weeds, we close our eyes and we begin to search. Lord, is there anything that I've allowed in today that's trying to smother out your purpose and call and anointing in my life? And then you begin to apply Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. You begin to apply the whole armor of God. Okay, Lord, today I put on the feet of peace so I can walk in the spirit of rest, put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. I have the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. And I apply the helmet of salvation. I flip down the face mask and I begin to declare your word day in and day out. My friend Keith Moore, y'all know who Brother Keith Moore is? Brother Keith Moore. Hey, y'all know Keith Moore is? Wave at me. Y'all know Keith Moore? Keith Moore, man, he's awesome. Call him the Kenny Rogers of Christianity. I love Keith Moore. He said that if you really research the armor that the men wore in those days, that they would actually flip down masks, face masks, because when they maybe escaped a city or a region, they didn't want the enemy or people that they used to run with to recognize them. And so Keith Moore said every day when he puts on the whole armor of God as the head of his house over his wife and his kids, he said, I always say, and Lord, I flip down the face mask. Listen, because when I speak your word, God, the enemy doesn't know if it's me or you speaking. Speak the word every day. I'm above and not beneath. Come on, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm blessed coming in and going out. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Isaiah 58:8. God, I thank you today that my strength and health spring forth speedily. Your righteousness goes out in front of me. Your glory overtakes me and has my rear guard. You begin to speak the word. You look in the mirror, and if it doesn't look exactly like you want, you say, God, I thank you today in Psalms 139:14 that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm marvelously complex. I'm a somebody. I'm valuable. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Y'all awake. But it's hard to do this with confidence if you're living like this and you're not checking for weeds. But when you live open-handed, you're checking for weeds, you're positioning yourself not as a spectator or a survivor or a cruise control Christian. You're positioning yourself to really be used by God. I look in the mirror every day. I did it this morning. I say, God, today I get my yes out of the way. I check for weeds. Trent really offended me last night, Lord. But then he made the game-winning shot. Angel and Macho are so upset. Lord, heal their hearts. Check for weeds in them, God. And then I say this line, devil, you're going to get tired before I do. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Come on, and you begin to take ownership as a Christian. Because listen, how many of y'all have given your life to the Lord? Wave at me if you're a Christian. Come on, you walk with Jesus. Because the Bible says it's not you who lives, but Christ who lives through you and in you now. You're an overcomer. No matter what the enemy's tried to throw in your face, the enemy doesn't play fair. We know this. Throw sand in your eyes all the time. I wrote a song a few years ago called Healing Is Here out of a storm that my wife and I were going through. They thought she had cancer, multiple tumors. Man, we had so many appointments and tests, scans. Went to a specialist on the 43rd day, and we were determined through it that if we were going to go through it, we were going to choose to grow through it. And man, we every day, we look in the mirror and say, not today. Not today, devil. And then Hillsong had to go write a song about it. But not today. No, not on my watch. Not on my watch, devil. You messed with the wrong people because we're overcomers. You messed with king's kids, man. You messed with royalty today. Yeah. And I remember my wife saying, this too shall pass. They may be saying this or whatever I have to walk through. Listen, we want to be delivered from the fire. But sometimes like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we get delivered inside of the fire. But he has remained faithful, consistent, constant. So I just want to challenge you today. Check for weeds every day. If somebody, something has hurt you and you feel like a shell of the way you should be, maybe you wear a tag that says damaged goods or fragile. That's not the way God looks at you. He calls you by name. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, when he yelled out the fire at Moses, when Moses finally turned aside and looked over, he called him by name. He didn't say, hey, you. Yes, you'll do. Kind of awkward and stuff, but you'll do. No, he knew him by name. God spoke everything into existence. Listen, everything. Let there be light, water, stop there. Stars here, here, here. The one thing that he did not speak into existence was us. He shaped us into his image. Shaped us from the soil. He shaped us into his perfect design. So wherever you're at, whatever you've walked through, I said this a moment ago, but you woke up again, you're breathing. You can either choose to live defeated or you can recognize who you are in Christ and recognize, devil, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. I declare breakthrough. I declare freedom. And we walked through a lot. I did 6 funerals last year. Walked through a lot of stuff last year. We're walking through some things right now with some family and some people and some relationships. I'm flying in and out of town covering pulpits of pastor friends of mine that are going through storms. The enemy is pulling out all stops. He's throwing every fiery dart he has. That's why it's so important, y'all, to not find yourself in isolation, but position yourself with the armor of God and recognize that he's gunning for you because he knows you're dangerous. He knows there's people's lives attached to your destiny. He knows there's a phenomenal call on your life. You know, insecurity, this is going to offend somebody, but I hope it helps you. Insecurity is one of the most selfish things you can choose because it puts all the attention on you. Takes the attention off of the Great Commission, takes the attention off of you being used by God, and it puts it all back on me, myself, and I. So shake off insecurity, shake off all of that stuff. Recognize who you are in Christ, daughters and sons of the living God, and walk out the call every day. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to pray, and I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's doing here. I'm excited about the testimonies. Listen, students, don't let the fire burn out. Some of you, your fire was barely flickering and some lighter fluid got thrown on it. Some of you came already on fire. But listen, the flame that God put in you and is on fire this week will be contagious to your peers. It'll be contagious when you go back to school. It'll be contagious to your family. We've had stories after story. It's amazing. Of students that went to camp, got on fire for God, went back home, and it changed their family. Dads got saved. Moms got saved. It's amazing. I met 2 girls, 2 leaders that were there. And David Fleming said, you got to hear their story. She has always come to camp. This one didn't believe in God. She was an atheist. Her friend invited her 1 year at camp. She encountered Jesus. Not religion. It's a waste of time. We don't pray prayers out of symbolic reasons. We don't go through all of this for symbolic reasons. There's no point in it. You're checking a mark off of a box. Well, I went to church on Sunday, so I hope my bills get paid. Then you're missing it. It's about relationship. It's about the person of Jesus. My dad didn't need religion when he went in shooting up. He didn't need religion when he went in high as a kite. He needed a relationship. The moment he encountered Jesus and God's thumbprint ended up on my dad, he sobered up and never went back. Never went back. That's who we're serving. So this is my challenge to you. Again, sticky note, check for weeds, live open-handed. But you may be here this morning. Close your eyes with me just for a minute. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Daniel, I don't know the Lord. It's a great, great service. It's my first time in church. Somebody lied to me and told me they were going to buy a steak for me. They're going to buy me a steak taco at Taco Bell. But you're here. You woke up. You came. That's 50% of it. Under the sound of my voice, maybe you haven't been living for God. Maybe you haven't been serving Him. Or maybe you did once and you fell away. And you felt today that something in your heart was convincing you of the fact that there's more to life than the way you've been living it. You want to get things straight and right with God today. Again, we don't pray prayers out of symbolic reasons. We pray because Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. All erased, slate wiped clean, thrown from as far as the east to the west. He will deliver you, heal you, and restore you. All you have to do is surrender. This gift doesn't cost anything. If anybody has ever told you you have to give an offering or you have to do something to get saved, salvation can't be earned. Surrender is all you have to do. The gift's been paid. Jesus hung on the cross. God bankrupted heaven and sent his best, his son Jesus, to bridge the gap between him and humanity, and that's us in this moment now. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you'd begin to tug on hearts, that heaven would begin to touch earth, and that we'd get caught in between right now. If you're here this morning, everybody's hands down just for a moment. If you're here this morning, I'm going to count to three. All I want you to do is acknowledge. We had five the first service. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to walk around with a microphone. We're not going to embarrass you at all. This is between you and God. One, Pastor Daniel, I need to get my life right with God. Two, I need to rededicate my life. Three, if that's you, lift your hand. I'm looking all over the room. I see your hand. 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 Seven, I've seen seven hands go up. You can put your hands down. Awesome. Anybody else join my seven friends right now? Say, I want to just get things right with God right now in this moment. Don't sleep on it. Don't come back next Sunday and think about it. Right now in this moment, join my seven friends. 10 more seconds. And we're going to pray. This costs you nothing other than surrender. God, I pray. Thanks, buddy. I pray that the eight of my friends right now that's lift up their hands right now, God, that you would transform, shift spiritually, renew, heal, deliver them of whatever they're walking through. Anybody else? Five more seconds. We're going to pray. From the sound booth where Macho's at all the way up to Trenton, if everybody would say this prayer with me today. Jesus, here I am. I've been living for me, and it hasn't worked. I'm going to live for you. You said in your word that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are Lord, I'd be saved, set free, healed, and delivered. I lay every mistake, every bad choice, all my sins at your feet, and I ask for forgiveness. And I confess you now as my Father, my Savior, and my Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, will you rejoice and give the Lord praise today? We honor you, God, and we magnify you. Come on, one more time, open hand and lift your hands towards heaven. Pastor Peggy, in just a moment, is going to come. And for the eight of you who lifted your hands or rededicated your life, she's going to give you some direction in just a moment. Holy Spirit, with our hands lifted towards you, open-handed, we ask that you would become greater and greater as we become less. Every day we're going to check for weeds. Every day we're going to get our yes out of the way. We ask that you would use us. God, I pray and thank you today that there's healing in our hands, that you'd lead us across somebody's path to get in the way of their storm today. Mend, restore marriages. Mend and restore families. Restore and heal. God, I pray the diagnoses would be reversed. The lives would be healed. Pain would leave bodies. Emotional pain would leave. Stinging of abuse, stinging of abandonment, God, would be just released right now. And God, right now, I just pray and thank you. The sound of my voice, God, that your healing power is here, that you're actively pursuing us. And we love you right now more than we've ever loved you before. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, say amen. Amen.